Our scripture lesson is found this morning in the 62nd division of the Psalms, Psalm 62. While you're turning to that, let me just say it's good to have you here this morning, back from your holiday time. I wouldn't have said that, but I wanted to say especially how good it is to see Alvin and Alice Kaufman with us this morning. And we prayed for you, and we're glad you're back. God bless you. It's really good to have you home. All the way from Africa in 6 months in the work there in the college. Won't be long until we say goodbye to Don and Elva Reed, who are going to go. I don't know to take the exact same position, but to work in that area of the world for a few months too. So it's nice that we can share these folk, but also great to have them back. I don't know if it's just me this morning or if it's you or not. You look particularly dead. I shouldn't tell you that. Good. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Wow, praise the Lord. That helps me a little bit. Just a little bit. Good. Psalm 62. It's okay to be dignified and, to sense the presence of the Lord on Sunday. I love that myself, but there's no excuse to come and pretend like you're dignified when you're just asleep. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Think of that. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Think of that. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Father, we open our hearts to you. We thank you for each other. We thank you for reason for the purpose that has brought us together. And we pray that we may not only ascribe to you worth and worship, but we pray that during this hour you will speak to us of your will for our lives. We accept the authority of your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. I've chosen this passage of scripture this morning not because it is unique, but rather because it's typical of many passages of scripture. As a matter of fact, this was just a passage of scripture for my devotions a few days ago and will be again this month as I go through the Psalms in reading. And it tells us that our trust is in the Lord. I guess it was New Year's watch night party. We were sitting playing Rook around the table, and Janice Nielsen said, "It's hard to imagine, hard to believe that we're just a year away from 1984. And of course, we all knew exactly what she was speaking about. For years ago in literature, as we studied that secular prophet, the novel 1984, we thought 1984 so far away, it never can happen, really. Jesus will certainly come before 1984 and Big Brother and the screens on the wall and all those things. And yet here we are just a year away from the calendar 1984, and God knows how close 1984 is. What word is there from God for an unknown and an uncertain future? And I'm glad we don't have to search through the Bible and find particular particular secret texts in order to find a word upon which we can stand for 1983 and 1984 and the unknown future. But just as you open your Bible, in the course of your regular devotions, there you will find what God has to say to you that you can depend upon, that God is our refuge, God is my salvation, God is my glory. And the first point this morning in my message is, in the face of life's struggle, we must turn only to God. Now, what would you expect to hear in a Christian church on the first day of the year? This is the expected line. But the psalmist declares that God has a monopoly on life. In verses 2 and 5 and 6, he uses the word only. God only is my rock. In him only is a sure security. Perhaps even more significant, the psalmist is implying that God has a monopoly on him, on David as well. So I'm not saying anything new. In the face of life's struggle, we must turn to God. But what does it mean? What does it entail to turn to God? In that first verse, David says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God." My margin says, "My soul is silent before God." David does not come telling God, rushing in impatiently, saying, "Here I am, Lord. It's a new year, and I need this, and I didn't do that last year, and this is what I want you to do." But rather, there is a sense of humility before the Lord. David does not come telling God, rushing in impatiently, expecting God to perform on David's turn. So in the face of life's struggle, we must turn only to God. But the second point, I didn't have you outlined this morning. In the face of life's challenge, it is easy to have false security or false concepts of God, which actually usurp God's supreme place and become false gods or idols. As I face 1983, how may I come to worship and trust God for the very best of reasons? And how may I avoid worshiping a God who's less than God really is? The writer of the hymn says, "I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." In verses 2, 5, and 6, this concept of only in God, we need to recognize that we must know God for ourselves. There are no shortcuts, no shortcut ways to a deep, abiding relationship with God. And as much as we are conditioned to instant satisfaction, as much as we want to find those particular verses in the Bible, those shortcuts, we We always turn the TV set up just a little bit. Oh, we don't watch those things on TV. None of us has the habit of watching the 700 Club or those other things. We wouldn't admit to it. But when they're on and then they begin to talk about prophecy or what things are going to happen, we turn them up to see if maybe they haven't found something that's a secret or something that's special, some word of God. I saw in the paper this week, Oral Roberts is advertising that God has given him a special revelation for me and for my family. It's amazing. God bless Oral Roberts. I'm not here to knock anybody. But God doesn't operate that way to give somebody in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a word for me, particularly in my family. And there are no shortcut ways for a deep spiritual relationship with God. I can't turn in on the TV and find a shortcut way to be a spiritual person of God. We're conditioned to instant satisfaction. We get saved and we're on fire for the Lord. And you know, sometimes that first flush of love to God is almost embarrassing. It puts some of us older ones to shame. And yet, as much as that love comes tumbling over itself and wants to press into the very holiest of holies, we can have a relationship with God. But even so, there is no shortcut to this business of just picking up the Bible and carrying on through day by day. Not a special verse, but what is God's word for today? Am I walking with God today? And it's so easy for us to be conditioned to trust in other things than just the simple day-by-day walk with God. There is no shortcut to a relationship with God that satisfies. It's something that develops, kind of like New England friendships, you might say. I like New England. I'm originally from the Midwest. Out there, everybody says, come on over and see us sometime. Glad to have you here. And then they don't hear you again. In New England, they may not speak to you for a little while, but pretty soon, when they invite you over, they tell you when. And our relationships may grow a little bit more slowly here, but they're genuine, usually. Oh, there's some Midwestern types here, too. But you know, in a sense, God is a kind of a New Englander in the way that he gets acquainted with us. Oh, he loves us. He never holds himself back from us. But you can't flatter God into a special relationship with you. You can't just get down once or twice a week and say, now, Lord, you're so special to me, and I really love you, and you're first in my life, and then get up and ignore him the rest of the week and fool him into being really a close, intimate friend with you. It doesn't work that way. And so it's so easy for us to have a false security. We love America. We die for it. I trust we would. Not ashamed of having the flag in our church. Not ashamed of being patriotic. And yet we can't get mixed up and worship God and America. We need to be prophets. We need to be true to God so that our very lives are a correction to the course that America would take. Very often we say, and God is our trust, and yet we say, with our actions, our trust is in some person or in some government or in some denomination. We're so much a product of our culture. And we're conditioned to believe that in winners is our trust, in bigness, our own ideas of God. We don't even dare to get our concept of what this God who is our refuge from our pastor. You can't just come to church on Sunday and listen to me preach and believe in me and find a relationship with God that's satisfying. You say, well, how in the world may we know and find God in the challenge of life? Well, that brings me to my last point. And that's the one I want to get across this morning. Our text is not unique in the Bible. It tells us what the entire tenor of the word shouts from every page. That as we walk with God, as we dare to trust Him, I want to put a plug in for this evening service as we walk by faith. And I want to talk about the gates of faith this evening. How we can use this gift that God has given us, the gift of faith, the sight of the soul. But to put into our very life fiber the truth of Hebrews 11:6. God is a rewarder of those that diligently, day by day, faithfully seek Him. And as we believe that, then God will not let us be deceived. How will we know when Antichrist comes? How will we be sure that we're ready to go? How will we know how the end times are? When we hear all these different prophets and there are different voices confusing, how can we know? There's not a secret verse in the Bible, but it's a day-by-day walk with Him. And being very specific on this New Year's Sunday, let me come to a practical conclusion. In God is my salvation and my glory. We come to know God, number one, on a personal, intimate relationship with God's Word. I challenge you this year to spend time with the Bible. Don't neglect the preaching of the Word. Don't neglect the public times of getting together. But I trust that when you hear the Word of God preached, it stimulates you until you want to go home and say, well, is that really what it was saying? You don't have to agree with me all the time. But if it stimulates you to go to the Word of God, so many of us do not systematically read the Word of God. And if you want to have the God that David is talking about here, that the whole Bible is talking about, that He can be your refuge and He can be your strength and He can be your guide in 1983, you're going to have to get to know Him. There's no other way except to spend some time with the Word of God this year. I challenge you. You can't just do it once a week or twice a week. That's where so many of our New Year's resolutions go so far. We set them up too big. Well, we're going to read, you know, an hour a day or something. You can't do that either. But get some pattern. Come ye apart. John Henry Jowett. Streams in the Desert, old book. Get some sort of pattern and begin reading. And read in order to get to know Jesus better. And read in order to get to know God better. And I will guarantee you that as you spend time regularly in the Word of God, you'll be surprised how not some secret special verse that someone has discovered and is going to send you. If you send them $10 and they'll send you a prayer cloth and a special secret of the end days and the last 24 hours of earth and why the Church of the Nazarene is really not the true church and all. Excuse me. Read God's Word. You won't get to know God any other way. Will you make a resolution this year? I don't believe in resolutions, really. But will you promise God, as He helps you, that you will spend time every day, God helping you? If it's not, if you don't spend time with the Bible, it'll be the exception instead of the rule. Of course, if you do miss a day, don't give up your faith and come to the altar and be backslidden and everything. But just make a promise to God. God helping me, I won't let a day go by. But I spend time not just to salve my conscience, but in order to know God. We come to know God through His Word. Number two, we come to know God. Are you ready for this? We come to know God through God's people, the church. It's God's plan and purpose that we learn to know Him through intercourse with His people. We see Jesus Christ in the face of our brothers and sisters in the church. There is no other way. There's no such thing as isolated salvation. God reveals Himself to us in the faces and actions of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And deliberately I challenge you to make the church, your home, this year. You say you're trying to build up the Wollaston Church of Nazareth. I certainly am. But that's not why I'm preaching this point this morning. You can question my motive all you want to, but I'm convinced through and through that there is no other way to salvation except through loyalty to the church of Jesus Christ. We have to build our lives into God's church. And as we do, he reveals his word not to just isolated individuals, but he reveals his word to his church, to his people. And what a blessing it is to have a family that we call the church. If you want to get to know God, ask God to help you to build your life and your family's life into the church this year. And then finally, we come to know God by talking directly to him at length. Verse 8 says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. Once again, there is no substitute for prayer. So often, prayer is taught or preached as a ought or a should. We have to get down and say so many words. And yet, how do you get acquainted with anybody except by just having conversation with them? You don't have to tell somebody when they're a teenager and they begin to look at somebody of the opposite sex and they think they're pretty nice. You don't have to tell them. Now, would you please call them up on the telephone and talk to them about 6 hours? They're just getting acquainted. What in the world can you say to a person for 6 hours? See them lying on the floor with their feet up on the wall and all kinds of things to eat around and they never get fat. But it's because they're interested in the other person, then they know, they talk about this, and did you know that, and did you know this? And yet when it comes to Almighty God, we just say, oh boy, it's time to pray again, oh dear Lord. And we say those little words, and then, ah boy, that's done for the day, praise God. David says, pour out your heart before him. I don't know what that means exactly. Except sometimes prayer gets very tough. And what it amounts to is actually saying, you know, you can't tell God anything. You can't inform him. He already knows it. But it's saying, Lord, look here. Opening up the inside. Everything I have is open to you, O God. Pour out your heart before him. And as you tell God the temptations, as you tell him your innermost secrets, and as you tell him where you know you failed and you're sorry, somehow he becomes closer and closer. He becomes the friend, the father, the guide that he's promised to be. And the person that seeks to open the very soul to God is the one that finds God is real in the tight, in the tough places. The Word, the church. I hate to call it prayer because it sounds so terrible. You have to pray, but talking directly to God at length. The only certainty that we have as we face a new year and an unknown future is a certainty that comes to us by faith. God is. He's not the creature of our needs or our hopes or our aspirations. God is what he is and who he is. And yet, as we seek to know him and find out about him, we find that God cares. Pour out your heart before him. God will sustain us. God is a refuge for us. I don't know whether the economy is going to go up or down. I don't know what's going to happen in 1983. I'm afraid I left my crystal ball somewhere and it broke or something. But I'm confident of this. Not by any special revelation, but just as I open my Bible from day to day and read, that God will not fail me. God is going to be my Father, my friend, my guide. It's not a special secret, but it's something that you can have day by day, week by week. But there's no shortcut to it. And I challenge you this morning, will you take this truth? And will you not be led easily aside by those that come making big promises or telling you that there are secrets or other ways or other blessings? Will you say, by the grace of God, I will follow this God. In the face of life's struggle, I will turn only to Him. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you this morning on a day when we need a special word from God, that there's no special word that we need. It's just the regular word that God is with us and that God honors those that seek Him. And so we pray that you'll help us to go back to your word, to live our lives through your church, to open our hearts before you day by day. Be our God, be our Father, be to us this year what we need, and we'll give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.